I remember some years ago, Brother Bill Prescott was scheduled to preach at Sandy Bottom Church, and I drove over that Tuesday, Thursday, whatever it might have been, and only one time have I ever driven to hear Bill Prescott preach that I was disappointed. He wasn't there, so they asked me to preach, so that's the only time I ever drove to hear him, but otherwise, great preacher. But well, Brother Shad McDonald, appreciate him, his ministry. So let's pray for them, just their work for the Lord. Turn with me tonight to the book of Jude, the book of Jude. Get right into this tonight. The book of Jude. With verse number 1, read down about 4 verses, and then we'll jump down about verse number 20. Jude, verse number 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go down to verse number 20. But ye, beloved, let's go back to verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, this other group, they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, we're not only able to read your word, but take a look at some of these things and the way that you can deal with our hearts, Lord. You can speak to us in wonderful and powerful and mighty ways, God, to us personally. Lord, I'm just a vessel, and I thank you for men of God that have stood here that you've anointed, Lord, and I stand being the least among them, asking that you would help me this night. Trust, Lord, that you just endue this church, this spirit, Lord, with your power and your might. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the glory. May the perfect work and will of God be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. I like his introduction. I could say some scholars think that Jude was the brother of Jesus Christ, or I could say some commentators think that Jude was the brother of Christ. Not all commentators are scholars, and maybe not all scholars are commentators, but Jude, I like the title. If indeed he was that earthly brother of the Lord, one of those that was born of Mary also, one of those at one time that was out, one of those that really did not believe on him, but after the cross, something must have happened in their hearts and their life. But still, that title, Jude the servant, he didn't, if it was him, he didn't say the half-brother of the Lord or the earthly brother of Jesus Christ, but his servant. And so I would like to have a servant's heart. I preached some time ago about John, the revelator, how that he was didn't have to be first, but he was faithful. He was there, had fallen the Lord, and that for a little bit of that time, there was something in him that maybe they kind of talked among themselves about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. Another time, he was wanting to pray fire down from heaven upon Samaria. But then after he was endued with power from on high, you read about how that Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, but yet it was Peter that said, look on us. Later on, you find John in these other sub roles, I guess you could say, not at the forefront. And so he didn't have to be first, but thank God for people that are faithful, for those that are servants. And if you are faithful, then you'll say later on that John, your fellow companion and brother and that servant of the Lord that was on the Isle of Patmos for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But so we don't have to be first, but may God always help us to be faithful. I want to have a servant's heart. Jude, again, that servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. That's you. That's myself. I believe that God has called us. I believe that there's a work of sanctification, some preserving that God has done for us. And so Jude is writing to the people of God about faith. Brother Savage talked about the day in which we live and how that, you know, he's hardly ever seen such anger. Among people, and I'll have to say, sometimes there's anger in my heart about some of the things that are going on. But I want my anger to be, in a sense, I want it to be as far as something that would be, righteous indignation, something that would be stirred by my spirit. But I always want to make sure that I hate the sin and not the sinner. And so when we look around at a lot of things that have happened in our nation, it is a sad thing. Faith, not only things that have happened on a nation, in our government, some of those things which are happening that, commonly spoken of, especially, under that last administration. But yet, we see other things that happen, even in some so-called churches when it comes to faith. One of those last elections, maybe when we were voting for our governor, there was one man that was working the Democrat side of the polls. And as I was going away, I started talking to him just a little bit about some different things. And when toward the end of the conversation, somewhere in there, I said, are you a Christian? He said, I'm a Methodist minister. I didn't even think it was even saved, never mind professing to be a Methodist minister. I said, have you ever heard of a man by the name of John Wesley? He said, yes, I have. I said, he preached sanctification. He preached separation. He said, no, he didn't. He just went around feeding the poor. But what has happened in the Methodist church, a church that at a time had some of the great revivals under Moody, under John Wesley, and the Spirit of God would move in their church and the people even there would shake under the power and the unction of God. But some of them have moved from a place of sanctification, from a place of even steadfastness that was good for and in their time. And now look where they have been. The Bible says how that some have departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. There might be a few that might go, to the extreme right and get off into false doctrines in that way, but it seems to be the tendency that people go to the other extreme. They move over to the left and then they depart from the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But I don't know about you, but in the year 2017, I may have a little trouble keeping up with the date. Sometimes maybe even a little trouble just trying to make sure that I have the right year. But what one thing about it, I want to make sure that I have the right faith. I want the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, not just John Wesley and D.L. Moody, not just L.D. Savage, and go back another generation to B.F. Savage, but I want to make sure that I have the same faith that was delivered unto the saints. That same faith. There was a little talk yesterday in Sunday school class, made me I think about Pop Savage. Never had the privilege of meeting him, but I heard some things about him. Brother Savage said, either you loved his father or you hated him. Didn't seem to hardly be any in between.
And by what I've heard, pretty much that's the way it was. Either they loved him or they didn't. Yesterday morning in Sunday school, one of our brothers, just general conversation, he talked about the day of when sinners would come in. He said, it's not the preacher's job to make them feel good. It's not the preacher's job to make them feel comfortable. About the time I'm feeling a little uncomfortable and thinking, Brother Denver, I'm the pastor here, and talk to me after church about this. But I thought about some of those men of days gone by. They say Brother B.F. Savage would walk down the aisle and he'd look people in the face and maybe even put a finger toward them. They said at our church one time, he was preaching whatever it was and looked at one of those people and said, you're not liking this, are you? And they just kind of hung their head. But what was that? I believe it was part of the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. A saint of God that despised sin, that abhorred sin, that knew that sin would not enter the kingdom of God, that knew that without faith it was impossible to please God. And when sin was in a life and sin was in a church, Brother James Routon, he said, when he first got into this, he said, if when you went to church, if you weren't saved, when you left there, if you felt good about yourself, it wasn't their fault. In other words, they would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto you, that you must be born again. They would preach heaven real. They would preach hell hot, and how that sin might even lie at the door. But it was something about a faith that was genuine, and not like we have in this modern day, that lovey-dovey, that everything can go, and really it doesn't matter. But this faith that was once delivered unto the saints, those that are separated, those that are sanctified, those that are filled with the power and the Spirit of an Almighty God, I want that same faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Let's talk a little bit more about the faith. The faith once delivered unto the saints. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If we don't contend, we will settle for a substitute. If we don't contend, we will settle for a substitute. If we don't contend, then I guess we'll just have to coexist with a lot of other things. If we don't contend, we'll settle for maybe a substitute, and at best might be a second best. If we don't contend, we'll have to pretend. You know, just kind of go through the motions. And I said one church, if it didn't go over, singing a little louder and maybe even a little faster, and you know, then try it again. So if we don't contend for that same faith, as I said, we will have to pretend. And if we don't contend for the faith, then I will be like those that I read just one verse number 4, how certain men crept in unawares and of the condemnation, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and goes on down about Sodom and Gomorrah and Egypt and Balaam and Canaan and their sin, their wicked ways. And so those that would be corrupted, if we don't contend, instead of the same faith that they had, it's going to be a sorry mess. Again, if we don't contend, it's going to get corrupted. And as I said earlier, maybe second best, but I want the same. I'd like for it to be said by the Spirit of God, or a man answering by the power of the Holy Ghost, that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, upon your sons and your daughters, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so I want to have that same faith, the faith. I want to have that, the faith, once delivered unto the saints. Not only do I want to have the faith, let's talk about breaking on down a little bit more than the faith. Let's talk about your faith. You know, reminiscing some in days gone by, and you know, I guess we do that from time to time. Try to keep things right in perspective. But as far as, you know, your faith, I remember years ago, there's a young lady used to attend here back when I was a young man, and she was a young girl, and I guess I was a young boy. I was probably about 16 or so, and I met some of the people from this church when I was probably about 16 there at Mount Olive Youth Camp. And one young lady that went to church here, whatever topic was brought up. Again, you know, Brother Savage pastoring here. And she let me know. She said, I don't do that. My pastor is strict. I thought, well, what about you? Well, again, I don't do that. My pastor is strict. Went to a youth rally some years ago and get some powerful testimonies at youth rallies. One young preacher got up and he was testifying about the five wise and the five foolish. The five foolish said unto the five wise, give us of your oil for our lamps. We don't have any. The wise, they had oil for themselves and wouldn't give to the others. One of the best commentaries I ever heard on that parable, the five wise and the five foolish, that young preacher, when he got toward summing that up, he said, the Lord spoke to him. What that means, that parable there is you've got to get it for yourself. I thought, wow, that's deep theology. That's good commentary, almost a scholarly in a way. You've got to get it for yourself. That's your faith. We read about Paul writing to Timothy about the faith that was in his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, whichever way it was, but also in thee also. What was that? Timothy, he got it for himself. Paul got toward the end of the journey. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not just for me only, but to all of them that love the Lord's appearing. What was that? If you get it for yourself and you endure to the end, but you've got to get it for yourself. Whatever your age is, whatever your place in the church, your place in the kingdom. We have to have it for ourselves. We have to have it for ourselves. Your faith. Some scriptures here about your faith. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Again, it seems to be a general letter that Jude is writing to a group of people. But the way that the Spirit of God wisely does it and so emphatically deals with the individual. The way that Jonathan, when he was just a little boy, we were at Allentown camp meeting. Brother Ralph Horton preaching in a day service. Got toward the end of his sermon. He was preaching to the lost. A conviction began to fall in that building. Jonathan, just a little boy, I don't know, maybe 7 years old, somewhere in there. He looks up at me after a little bit. However, can still see about where we were sitting in. And a brother Horton at the front preaching. Jonathan looks up at me and says, Dad, I think he's talking to me. Will you go up to the front and pray with me? I said, Son, he's surely not talking to you. No, I wouldn't even think of a thing. But that's what it is. It's the way the Spirit of God talks to the individual. The way the Spirit of God, he talks to the little child. The way the Spirit of God talks to the young, talks to the middle aged, and even to some of us in some of our older years of life, some of us in our older years of life. But Lord, I want to have that most holy faith. How many people in this world that Jesus asks the question, when he comes, when he find faith on the earth? I think he's talking about that most holy faith, and not just having your name on a roll somewhere, and not just having your name. One man said, join a church, it looks good for an obituary. But when we talk about your most holy faith, that's something on the inside that works its way to the outside. That's something that's pulling you higher and higher and higher, and deeper and deeper and deeper, and closer and closer and closer to God. That's your most holy faith. It's a precious thing. It's a powerful thing. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves, you've got to do it yourself, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Some of this praying in the Holy Ghost and the Spirit that helpeth our infirmities. Your faith
Romans chapter 8. I want to read one verse. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28 is our favorite. Now let's go back to verse number 27. And he that, well, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There's so much to pray for. You can't cover it all and don't even know it all. But for we know not what we pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Some years ago, as I said, I like how that God deals with us personally. You know, the loads in life that we carry, those things which we bear, sometimes that seems so heavy. I don't know if I've ever told this here, but some years ago, I was on a job site, and somebody was had a truck gotten stuck, not bad, just a little bit, some surface mud, but still couldn't move. And so they wanted the chain to pull the truck back to the gravel driveway. So they asked me if I had a chain. I said no. I knew the guy stocking drywall inside the house. I asked him, I said, do you have a chain? He said, sure do. He said, I'll be down in a little bit. I'll help you get that chain. I thought, I don't need help getting a chain. And so he came down and he opened the bin of his truck and he started, you know, pulling that chain out. And I'm used to baby chains like Jared Moore has to pull out his truck. You know, just not much of a truck. But anyway, this drywall truck, I guess you pull out a big truck, you need a big chain. And those links, I wish I could see it again just to make sure I'm not exaggerating. But when he started pulling that chain out, the links were not like that, but links probably about like that. And he pulled and pulled and pulled, and it was laying on the ground. And he said, make sure I get my chain back. And so I thought, okay. And so I got about half of it on my shoulder, and I was just thinking, how am I going to get the other half, Brother Ricky? And so about that time, he got the other half of the chain on his shoulder. And so we carried it over to where we pulled the truck out, and we're going to pull the truck out. He threw it down, and that's when he said, make sure I get my chain back. And he went on back to work. We hooked to the truck, pulled the other truck out, and so he had to get his chain back. And so there it lay on the ground. And so I got about half of it on my shoulder. About the time I got ready to get the other half, Hispanic guy standing there, he got the other half of the chain on his shoulder. I said that to say this, to this day, I do not know how much that chain weighed, Brother Savage, and I know about how much my half weighed, but I, that's to this day, I don't know how much that whole chain weighed. Some of those burdens of life that I've had to bear, it seemed ever so heavy, but the Spirit itself, it helpeth our infirmities. That's what that word helpeth means, and the way God worked that in my life, I experienced that one day. Hey, the very next day, studying, just general study, this Romans 8 and 27, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. That word helpeth, it's two who mutually bear a burden, or two who mutually bear a load. And so that's what your most holy faith is going to do. It's going to be not just you that's bearing the load, but it's going to be the one that is right there, the one who is the comforter. Jesus said, if I go away, I will send another comforter. And what's the word another? They said it's like unto the first. And Jesus was there, just all that earthly ministry. And he cared for his disciples, and he was faithful unto them. He gave them instruction when they needed it. He explained parables unto them when they didn't understand. He was there for them. He was eyes for them. He was water for them. He was food for them. But he said, I'll send you another comforter. And there's been times when I was weak, but he was my strength. There were times when I was thirsty, but he gave me water. There were times when I was hungry, and he gave me to eat. But I'm glad for the comfort of God. And what we need in this day and every day, what you need with your faith, is that Holy Ghost.
building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If we're not striving, we're struggling. Earnestly contend for the faith. If we're not striving, we'll be struggling. You've got to get it for yourself. More than just my pastor's strict, but to intercede through us, to intercede for us, edification, that sweet Spirit of God, contending for the faith, building up your most holy faith. But this isn't just so that we can have what we have and the rest of the world just die and go to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How that one stretched out his arms ever so wide, as Brother Savage has already said, stretched out his arms ever so wide that those could be saved. He laid down his life. And so we've done this. We have the faith, and we're building up our most holy faith. Something's coming in, and then something's going to go out. And so now we'll talk for just a little bit about their faith and others. In verse 22, and on some, and of some, have compassion. And of some, have compassion. You say they should have known better. Yeah, they really should have. But of some, have compassion. To what degree? Making a difference. Brother Doble had a way of saying things. He said, I don't hate anybody. He said, I love everybody. He said, some of them I love just enough to make it to heaven. So, but that was Brother Doble, and he'd say it if he was here. Love Brother Doble. But of some, and he was a compassionate man, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Their faith and others, say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The faith. I want to have the faith. Your faith. Building up your most holy faith. And then their faith of some making a difference. And I'll close with this. Last two verses. Enduring faith. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's pretty good there. Just in and of itself, to keep you from falling, but not just to keep you from falling, but to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. After a while, it will all be over. After a while, the sun's going to shine. After a while, dark clouds will pass over, and we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Well, after a while, it will all be over. After a while, the sun's going to shine. After a while, dark clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after standing to your feet. Well, after a while, it will all be over. And after a while, the sun's going to shine. Well, after a while, dark clouds will pass over, and we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Oh, after a while, it will all be over, and after a while, the sun's going to shine. After a while, dark clouds will pass over, and we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Oh, after a while, it will all be over. And after a while, the sun's gonna shine. After a while, dark clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Oh, think about it. Just a few more days. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Now we walk by faith and not by sight, but that day our faith will be made sight. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Well, after a while, it will all be over. And after a while, The sun's gonna shine. Well, after a while, dark clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Oh, after a while, it will all be over. Oh, after a while, the sun's gonna shine. And after a while, dark clouds will pass over. And we'll shout hallelujah after a while. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Dear Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when they march around the throne. Oh, when they march around the throne. Dear Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when they march around the throne. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Dear Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when they crown him King of Kings. Oh, when they crown him King of Kings. Dear Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when they crown him King of Kings. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Dear Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when they march around the throne. Oh, when they march around. Let's all find ourselves a place to pray. Oh, pray and worship God. Thank you.